as we look at the simpleton, we see that the scripture describes this individual in great detail. The word pephi, the pephi, loves being simple. Proverbs 1:22 says that the simple person loves doing simple things, loves doing things that show they're gullible and immature.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Chain of Fools from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Chain of Fools.
To distinguish good from evil. That they need this ability to be able to distinguish good from evil, right from wrong, what's healthy and what's unhealthy. That the pati walks down in Proverbs 7, and I preached that passage here on several occasions, where the foolish one went by the house of the harlot, right? Well, guess what the word there is for the fool? Or the young one is pati. He walked by the house thinking that nothing was wrong. He needed discernment. He needed to realize that he was traveling down the wrong road. He needed to have the understanding of what is right or wrong. And so sad to say that sometimes we see the simpleton right among us making these unwise decisions. And so this is the first one in the chain of fools. The second one that we see in the chain of fools is what the Hebrew writer calls the hard-headed one, or the evil. The evil, right? And the word evil, I love these Hebrew word pictures, right? The pati means to be open. You know, have an open mind to the wrong things. Whereas this right here, this word actually refers to one who is thick-brained, right? In other words, this refers to a person who is hard-headed, you know? And the hard-headed person doesn't want to listen to the instructions of his father. Proverbs 15:5 says the evil will not obey the instructions of his father. Many of us may have been evils as we grew up. Our parents tried to tell us things that were right for us, and we didn't want to listen to them. And so, sadly, for some of us, we suffered the same consequences with our kids as they grew up. You know, we tried to tell them stuff, and they didn't want to listen. You know, I heard the story about a man, this was back in the day, who was selling a set of encyclopedias. Now, today, we don't even need encyclopedias, right? If you invested $300, $400, $500 back in the day in a set of encyclopedias, they are pretty much worthless today. Right, because you can get anything. It's interesting. Somebody will ask a question, you know, how old was such and such when they died? And all you got to do, how old was such and such when they, and it'll tell you in less than probably 5 seconds, right? Information, you know, right at your hand. That's why Daniel talked about, you know, knowledge shall increase. The speed of knowledge shall increase. So there was a guy who, back in the day, he had a set of encyclopedias. And he bought them for his son. And he posted an advertisement that said encyclopedias for sale. And they were going at a real cheap price. And somebody asked him, why are you selling them so cheap? He said, well, I bought them for my son, but he already knows everything. So. I bought them for my son. But he already knows everything. And isn't that the testimony of young people growing up? Hard-headed. They think they know everything. Don't want to listen to anyone. I remember years ago, a young lady came up to me. She was probably about 15, 16 years old, godly young lady. And I remember she said to me, she said, you know what? She said, Pastor, I don't agree with everything that my parents want me to do. You know, there are things that I don't agree with. She said, but because they're my parents and because God has placed them as my authority, I listen to what they tell me to do. I was like, whoa! How refreshing is that? Right? That somebody would actually say, man, you know, I don't agree with everything that my parents say and what they, but you know what? Because they're the authorities in my life, I'm going to follow what they say. But this person is hard-headed. And not only does he not listen to the instructions of his father, but he thinks he is right when he is wrong, and nobody can change his mind. We all know people like that. You know, they keep trying to put that square peg into the round hole. You can't do it, but you can't tell them that. Why? Because they're hard-headed. What are some of the things that the Evil says? I'm doing things my way. My parents don't know what they're talking about. You can't tell me what to do. Here goes one right here. You know what? You try to tell them something from the word, right? And this is the big thing that people are saying today. Well, you know, that's your reality. That's your reality. Hard-headed, right? No, this is not my reality. This is what the word of God says. Here goes one. I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I believe. And then, sadly, I've heard this one on more than one occasion, that because God didn't work the way I thought he should work, because my mama died or my baby died, you know, I'm walking away from my faith in God. You know what? You know, again, I know that people who lose loved ones, I know they're hurting. And definitely we want to minister, you know, to people who have lost loved ones because they are hurting. But the worst thing that you can do is walk away from the one who can help you. Because now what you're saying is that instead of casting all my cares on him, because he cares for me, I'm going to take them all on myself. That is a foolish decision. But that is the word and the words of the Evil, the one who is hard-headed. What does this person need? This person needs a good dose of humility. They need to be humble. Now, again, I'm just picking out one main thing. There's probably a lot of other things that they need, so don't think that this one thing will take care of it all, because they probably need other things too. But I'm just saying, as a rule, hard-headed people, as a rule, hard-headed people need to be humbled. They're so filled with themselves. They're so filled with pride that you try to tell them something, and they don't want to listen to you. They think what you're saying is crazy. And the only way, according to the scripture, fools or evils, because of the transgression and because of their iniquities, they were afflicted. What it means to afflict? It means that they were humbled, that something was brought in their life to afflict them, to get them to get off of their high horse and to be humbled in the sight. So as we deal with hard-headed people, our prayer for them should be, Lord, humble that person. And sometimes we get humbled, or people are humbled, and they still refuse to yield in their heart. And, you know, they keep knocking their head against the wall. They keep bumping their head against the wall time and time again. And God is trying to humble them. God is trying to bring them down. But they fail to see it. And they continue in the state of being hard-headed. Well, the third one that we see in this chain of fools is what's called the Nabal, right? And this is a wicked. The word actually means wicked. This person is close to the voice. A fool is close to the voice of moral reason. He is impious and morally insensitive. The Nabal, right? Psalm 14:1, Psalm 53:1. The fool, the Nabal have said in his heart, there is no God. What a foolish individual. And you may remember David, and I believe it was Abigail. David had done something good for Abigail and her husband. And David went and asked for a favor. And Abigail's husband's name was Nabal, which is, how many people want to name fool, right? Wicked one, right? Come here, little fool. Or growing up, oh, look at little fool over there. But this was the man's name. And David asked him for a favor, and he refused David the favor. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 25. And this is Abigail. This is the man's wife pleading for him. And she says to David, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow, even Nabal." Look at this. Now this is his wife. "For as his name is, so is he." "As his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaiden, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send." And so this guy was a fool. And as a fool, what are some of the things that we hear fools say? We hear fools say, "All my friends will be in hell. You know, when I get to hell, we're just going to have a big party." That's a foolish statement, right? Foolish statement. God, the Nabal, has said in his heart, there is no God. God is not real. Then we got that Isley brother theology, right? It's your thing. Do what you want to do, right? Heaven and hell are here on earth. That's what the Nabal says. Well, I'm not worried about the afterlife. Heaven and hell. Now remember, go back to this now. The guy is what? Morally insensitive, right? His morals. And we all know people like that. Yeah, I heard something the other day. I said, this is powerful. And I'm going to use this the next time I can. Like whenever, the next time you hear somebody say, you know, when they take the Lord's name in vain, when they say, "Jesus Christ," right? Well, first of all, Jesus means salvation. And Christ means what? The anointed one or the Messiah. And so the next time you hear somebody say that, I said, man, this is great. Challenge the person. Hey, do you know what you just now said? You just now said Jesus is salvation and he is the Messiah. Now, again, they don't know that, right? But here's a good opportunity to witness to them. Do you really know what you said? Now, you've taken the Lord's name in vain, right? But here's what you really said. And just pray that the Lord would just bring conviction. Maybe they might not say it again. Well, I don't want to say that Jesus is salvation. I don't want to say that Jesus is the Messiah. I don't want to say it. So maybe that might teach them a lesson from using the Lord's name in vain. Or maybe that might cause them to think and open up the door for you to witness. Right? But so that person, right, that would take the Lord's name in vain. Just as you sit there and listen, say to yourself, Nabal. That's what, this person is a fool to take the name of the Lord and use it in vain. To take the name of the Lord and drag it down in their mind into the mud. Right? This person is a Nabal. And so, you know, they say heaven and hell are right here on earth. I like what Dr. Harold Wilmington says. He says, well, that statement is true. The closest that some people will get to heaven is here on this earth. And the closest that some people are going to get to hell is here on this earth. But we know what they mean when they say it. And then I've heard this, and you've probably seen it, maybe on a bumper sticker, or you've seen it somewhere. He who dies with the most toys wins. And I heard somebody put a comma and said, yet, but he still dies. He still dies. And so the closed-minded, what do they need? What does a closed-minded person need? They need a spiritual awakening. This fool in the chain of fools needs a spiritual awakening. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine in them. This person is morally inept. This poor person is, their morals are bankrupt. They are a Nabal. And what do they need? They need a spiritual awakening. And then the final fool in the chain of fools is what we call the lutes. The lutes. And this word actually means to mock with the mouth. And so this person is a mocker or a scorner. This individual is a fool. Some of the characteristics. This person hates people who correct them. If you try to correct a lutes, he hates it and will probably strike back at you in some way. He causes contention and strife. But look at this. He makes fun of the righteous, and he makes fun of the things of God. Scoffers. And we all know scoffers that tell us things about our faith in God. As a matter of fact, let's look at some of the statements that the lutes makes. The Bible is outdated. Christianity is a crutch for the weak. Now, these last three that I put up here, actually, I wrote a book on apologetics. And we were advertising the book on our website or on our Facebook. And one scoffer must have got a hold of four or five other scoffers. And they just started bombarding our Facebook page with all these ridiculous comments. And so I put some of them up here for us to see. These are actual words from scoffers, from mockers. The Bible is an ancient work of fiction that causes problems today. It needs to be relegated to the dumpster. Scoffer! Peter said, in the last days, scoffers would come. Right? Here goes another quote, right from the page. Right? Nobody has to defend gravity. Again, talking about the book on apologetics. Nobody has to defend gravity because gravity is real. Why are you defending fairy tales? My. Scoffers. You can't put your trust in anyone who can clear his or her conscience by immoral act of asking forgiveness from his imaginary friend. They say God is imaginary. God does not exist. Scoffer. Fool. What does a scoffer need? The book of Proverbs is very clear. Now, this is not Pastor Glaze. I know that God is merciful. I know he's gracious. And that God, in his way, he extends mercy and grace to everyone. I understand that. But particularly, the book of Proverbs tell us what the scoffer needs. And what does a scoffer need? Punishment. The scoffer, the only way that they will learn is to experience punishment. Proverbs 19:25. Smite the lutes. Smite the lutes. Which means to level punishment on them, and the simple will beware. When the scorner is punished, the simple will be made wise. So the scripture is very clear that this person is so hard, this person is so ingrained, that this person, I think of people say this, right? And they say it jokingly. And it just eats me up when I hear people say this, when they see somebody do something wrong. You need Jesus, right? Man, that bugs me when I hear somebody say it, because they're mocking, right? They're scoffing. And sometimes the only way to get the scoffer's attention is through punishment. Again, I believe that God, in his grace and his mercy, he will do everything he can to try to win the scoffer over. What the Romans said, the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance, right? So God will do everything that he can to lead this person to repentance. But we know with Pharaoh, and we know with others, that there comes a time when God is through. And God turns them over. Even in the book of Romans, it said that God turned them over to a reprobate mind. And so the only thing sometimes for the scoffer is that they are corrected. And then again, they may even continue on in their scoffing. So we started out this series today by looking at a chain of fools. And first of all, I pray that you do not fall into any of these categories. That's my prayer. Secondly, I pray that you would have wisdom to know how to deal with scoffers, the hard-headed, the simple, that you would know how to deal with these individuals, and that you would deal with them in wisdom, and that God would use you in their lives to bring them to Jesus Christ. And then third, that we would be able to just understand that there are these individuals in the world, and that they're on every level. Woo. Woo. They're on every level, right? They're political, entertainment, sports, every level you find these individuals. And that would help us to understand that this world needs prayer, because there's a lot of fools out there doing a lot of things, and we need to pray that God would work in our world and in our lives.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of What the Fool Believes from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Chain of Fools, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Chain of Fools. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Chain of Fools. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools, is made available by request. When you visit our website, acurtinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit acurtinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.